And welcome to Earth Riot Radio. I'm Reverend Billy at the Church of Stop Shopping in New York. COP30, the big international climate conference, has just concluded in Brazil. And like all the others, like the previous 29 COPs, it's delusional. They're trying to report that something happened. Nothing happened. It's the same. Saudi Arabia, the United States, and so forth and so on, they have dominated. The big oil companies and their banks get their way. That's at the very center of a big circle. If you could describe the COP meeting as a big circle, that secret card game goes on and has its predictable results. Then they pretend that they're transparent. They train these sort of actor executives who sit at tables high above large groups of journalists and people from smaller countries with microphones. And they cherry pick their data and they report that motion is motioning and we're seeing success here, and they're not, of course. Now, on the outside of that circle are the people from Amazonia, the earth culture people. And they've come walking with their great river, the Amazon River, to Behem, and there they are. And they've been rushing the stage repeatedly, and they've been penetrating towards the center, not quite getting to that card game, but getting closer than ever before. And they are turning the heads, increasingly, of the people kind of in the middle who want to live in both worlds, listening to the center, kind of still thinking that the news comes from the powerful. And then also listening to the real power on the outside, the typhoons and hurricanes and the droughts and the heat waves and the 100 million migrants forced by climate change to find a new dream. Well, you and I, we're in that group. We're walking towards the outside of the circle, towards the earth. The earth is speaking to us. The earth is coming. Somebody give me an earth-alleluia here. Earth-alleluia.
Disculpe, señor presidente, en este momento mi bandera no estaba levantada, pero sí estuvo levantada para levantar un punto de orden y estuvo levantada nuevamente para comunicarle que para nosotros no es aceptable la forma en la que se está manejando esto procedimentalmente.
Извините, пожалуйста, господин председатель, я бы хотел выступить, отреагировав на тот сюжет, который развертывался перед тем, как прервалось заседание. La Federación de Rusia no comprende por qué sonaron estas intervenciones de los países latinoamericanos, porque nosotros, precisamente gracias al presidente de la conferencia nuestra, Señor de Lago.
We're in the streets of Belém, where the UN Climate Summit is taking place. We're halfway through the negotiations of COP30. It's a Saturday. Thousands of people have taken to the streets demanding urgent climate action.
One of the most important thing for me for this COP is the action and the solidarity that we are building together as an indigenous leaders and land defenders for different parts of the world. Because we know that the answer is us. We know that we are the lead alternatives. We have the answers and we have the response for all the devastation and the destruction for the climate crisis. And we are making this together. We know that we have the solutions.
We're standing here with our relatives from the global south, from the Amazon, to speak with one mind and one voice and one heart. We're demanding that all these fossil fuel lobbyists be removed. It's very unethical and immoral that there's more there than the indigenous people here from the local region. We had indigenous people here who had to fight to get in. But we have these corporations that can just waltz right in with no struggle.
We're marching with the people of Belém today to demand accountability from the world leaders as they attend COP30. As we can see, a lot of wars and occupations has been happening all over the world, from Palestine to Sudan to Congo and other regions, West Papua and even in Asia. And with that, the ongoing ecocide is something that we should not tolerate, something that we should not allow. And so we're here demanding for these world leaders, for these imperialist nations to stop the US-led wars, to stop their imperialist dominations over these countries, to stop the food blockades, and to stop violating the human rights of those people and the environment.
Nosotros, los países de América Latina que hemos hablado en esta plenaria, no nos comportamos como niños que quieren todos los bombones. Hemos venido en representación de nuestros países. Hemos venido en representación de los millones de habitantes que representamos y con instrucciones precisas de nuestro gobierno.
Con respecto al punto 14 de la agenda de la COP30, género y cambio climático, la República del Paraguay desea expresar que para los fines de este documento y para todas las referencias al género en otras decisiones y documentos adoptados o que sean adoptados en el futuro.
We are the ones that are saying what the forest is demanding. We are the ones that are saying what the river is asking for. We are going through a lot of violence in our territories. The rivers, the Tapajós River, the Madeira River, they're being privatized for the creation of hydroways, for the transportation of soy, for agrobusiness. It's a collective struggle, and this is what keeps me alive. I've already suffered 2 attacks. Twice people have entered my house, have invaded my house to try to keep me from fighting, threatening me. My people have power because we have a people, we have culture, we have the forest, we have the things that really matter. So we know that we are powerful and not them. I am not afraid and I will not be silenced and I will keep fighting.
Уважаемый господин председатель, Российская Федерация хотела бы сделать интерпретирующее заявление в связи с проектом и уже принятым решением о Беленском плане действий по гендерным вопросам.
Hearing no objections, it is so decided.
This was supposed to be the COP that empowered and celebrated indigenous people, yet you've had 2 major disruptions in 4 days, and with indigenous people feeling not empowered. Can you explain what you think the COP presidency has not done here, and what are you planning to change because of this?
On the indigenous people, we really look at what happened yesterday or the day before and today, really a celebration on having a COP in the Amazon. We have a COP in the Amazon. We, Brazil, President Lula, could have chosen having a COP in São Paulo or in Rio or in Brasilia. We would not see indigenous people. We would not be in debate. They wouldn't have their voice heard. They have different ways of protesting. We have, as COP30 presidency, create a circle of the people, led by our Minister Sonia Guajajara. We have been debating throughout with indigenous caucus. I think they feel included very much so. Minister Sonia was there now negotiating with them. The COP30 presidency attended them as much as they have. There are all different ways of protesting, inside, outside. There are protocols for that. We are listening to their voice. And Brazil, fortunately, have a very strong democracy in which people are allowed to protest in the different ways that they wanted. So we are dialoguing with them. They are there at this stage. And we're probably going to be hearing from indigenous people throughout this COP. The reason for having a COP in the Amazon is for us to listen to the very people that are most vulnerable. So we should embrace their different ways of protesting. We are dialoguing with them. We knew it would be very great numbers. We heard yesterday also we had a meeting with the indigenous caucus, and we heard this has been the most inclusive COP for indigenous people. We had, I think it's 900 indigenous people being accredited inside this COP. The last COP that had a large number of indigenous people, if the number I got from the UNFCCC was about 300. So we have 900. We know those are processes going forward, very important one. And we will continue dialoguing with the legitimate calls that indigenous people have. We are listening to them. The manifestation they had was legitimate. They have asked clarification about processes that are about not just the COP, but about national policies. Minister Sonia Guajajara and Minister Marina there. And we'll continue dialoguing with them.
take that journey, you and me. Take that time. Get the map. Got the map? Oh, it's inside us. We forgot that. Now we remember. The Earth, the Earth, the Earth, the Earth gave us the map. Thank you, Earth. Yeah. We'll be singing beautiful Earth until we, you guided us, and now we promise you we'll shout.
Hello. Welcome to the news from the natural world. I'm Savitri D. A wildfire that has raged for more than a week in drought-stricken Iran has devastated parts of the ancient Hyrcanian forests. A UNESCO World Heritage Site renowned for its rich biodiversity and endangered species. Turkey dispatched firefighting aircraft to help contain the blaze in one of the world's oldest forest ecosystems. The disaster comes amid a year marked by deepening environmental. The nation is enduring its worst drought in more than six decades, with water supplies in Tehran and Mashhad, its second largest city, almost exhausted. Authorities believe the wildfire was human-caused and spread quickly through the parched province. Stretching along the Caspian Sea's southern coast between Iran and Azerbaijan, the Hyrcanian forests date back 25 to 50 million years. The area is a vital refuge for numerous bird and mammal species and is home to rare centuries-old trees and the endangered Persian leopard. Hyrcanian forests are among the oldest and most biodiverse ecosystems on the planet. A blaze of this scale in late autumn highlights the forest's increasing vulnerability to intense fire activity, even outside the peak summer fire season. A massive wall of trash, stretching roughly 500 feet and rising as high as four stories, was recently uncovered beside a highway in the English countryside, sparking national outrage across Britain. Although enormous in scale, the dump remained concealed for weeks behind a dense line of trees. The towering mound of rubbish near Kidlington, about 60 miles northwest of London, is the latest example of what experts describe as a growing trend. organized criminal groups exploiting illegal dumping for profit. An October report from the House of Lords warned that over 38 million tons of waste, enough to fill Wembley Stadium 35 times, is believed to be illegally managed in the UK. Incidents of illegal dumping, known locally as fly tipping, have risen sharply in recent years. The heap was composed largely of household waste. The study of an assemblage of Neanderthal human bones discovered in the Goyet in Belgium has brought to light selective cannibalistic behavior primarily targeting female adults and children between 41,000 and 45,000 years ago. The biological profile of the victims, identified for the first time, reveals they were part of a group originating from outside of the local community, and they were probably brought to the site to be consumed for food rather than in a ritual context, as suggested by the presence of traces similar to those found on animal bones hunted, butchered, and consumed by occupants of the Goyet site. During the late Middle Paleolithic, marked in Northern Europe by great cultural diversity within Neanderthal groups and the emerging presence of Homo sapiens in nearby areas, such cannibalism directed at specific outsiders could reflect the existence of territorial tensions between groups that preceded the disappearance of Neanderthals in the region. Researchers at the University of São Paulo have discovered a molecule in the toxin of scorpions that appears to attack breast cancer cells in a way similar to a widely used chemotherapy medication. Intense flooding has significantly reduced rice harvests around the world in recent decades, putting at risk the food supply of billions of people who rely on the grain as a dietary staple. Between 1980 and 2015, annual losses averaged about 4.3%, or roughly 18 million tons of rice each year. Scientists discovered that a week of full submergence is enough to kill most rice plants, making flooding a far greater threat than previously understood. The researchers found that the damage has grown worse since 2000, as extreme floods have become more common in many of the planet's main rice-growing regions. They report that climate change is likely to further increase the frequency and severity of these destructive floods in the coming decades. Baby loggerhead turtles use a touch-based magnetic sense to figure out where they are in the open ocean as they navigate thousands of miles. As soon as they leave the beach where they hatch, young loggerheads begin journeys that span thousands of miles and can continue for decades. Even at this early stage of life, they are not traveling blindly. Hatchlings come equipped with a magnetic compass that helps them maintain direction and a magnetic map that provides location information essential for successful navigation. Loggerhead turtles are equipped with two different abilities for sensing the Earth's magnetic field, yet scientists had not determined which one they rely on to interpret the magnetic map they inherit at birth. New findings from researchers at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, published in the Journal of Experimental Biology, show that hatchlings primarily use their ability to feel magnetic forces to determine their position along their long migration routes. Small magnetite crystals within their bodies shift in response to magnetic forces, which allows the animal to feel the field. To a lesser extent, their eyes contain light-sensitive molecules that respond to magnetic conditions and allow them to see magnetic patterns. And now, the sounds of extinction. The codcod, also called geeing, is the smallest cat species native to the Americas. It lives primarily in central and southern Chile, as well as adjoining areas of Argentina. Since 2002, it has been listed as vulnerable on the IUCN Red List, as the total population may be fewer than 10,000 mature individuals. It is threatened by persecution and habitat loss. The codcod's fur color ranges from brownish yellow to gray brown. It has dark spots, a pale underside, and a ringed tail. Melanistic codcods with spotted black coats are quite common. It has a small head, large feet, and a thick tail. Adult codcods are 15 inches long and stand about 10 inches high. They usually weigh under 5 pounds and are about half the size of the average house cat. Codcods are equally active during the day and during the night, though they only venture into open terrain under the cover of darkness. They are excellent climbers, easily able to climb trees more than a meter in diameter. They are terrestrial predators of birds, lizards, and rodents in the ravines and forested areas, feeding on southern lapwing, austral thrush, chukau, tapukulo, huit-huit, domestic geese, and chicken. Codcods maintain small, exclusive territories and live for 10 to 12 years. And hear the sound of the codcod, also known as the geeing.
Say goodbye. This is Reverend Billy from the Church of Stop Shopping in New York, and this was Earth Riot Radio with Jason Candler, your editor, Savitri D, the reporter from the news from the natural world, and I'm Reverend Billy. We're glad that you were with us this half hour. We're going out across the country to lots of radio stations, and we hope that we meet you, that you come and be with us in New York with a where the Stop Shopping Church holds forth. Meanwhile, you know, you have to thank the leadership of the Earth Culture people of Amazonia who followed their river all the way down to that secret poker game where the oil companies and the client nation states make their deals, share their profits, send out their toxins. Earthaluya, everyone. Earthaluya.
Thank you for listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC. Take a look at our program lineup at cjsf.ca to discover the diverse range of contents we bring to you.
Get ready for Listen Up. The Geography Student Union presents a night of live music starting at 5 p.m. on November 29th at the Student Union Building Ballroom on SFU Burnaby campus, featuring Sleepy Gonzalez, The Lunchtime Band, and Tiger Really. Tickets are $15, available online or at the door while they last. Open to all ages and everyone.